Hey, man, we're down to 1953. Richard?
Yes?
That was a big year.
What happened?
That's the year I got my hip fixed.
Oh, yeah, that was a big year.
When I went to the Massachusetts General Hospital, mm-hmm. and the late Dr. Smith Peterson fixed my hip with a Vitalium cup arthroplasty, the finest job he had ever done, and he didn't live to see it. It was the tragedy of it.
Mm.
He was going to do the left hip for me on the 10th day, and on the 8th day he had a fatal heart attack.
Mm.
So I never got the left one done. But what a job he did with his right one. You know, it's much stronger than the left one, which we never fixed. You know, they were both shattered, but the left one wasn't quite and isn't quite as painful. And the time comes when it does get that way, I'm going to get it fixed, too. But
then you'll really be a hip reformer, won't you?
Oh, man, I'm going to be hip someday, I tell you. They had a song around in those days called "Your Cheating Heart Will Make You Weep. You'll cry and cry, try to sleep, but the sleep won't come.
Try to sleep.
I tell you, you can't even sit back and take a nap on this show. You've got to really be on your toes.
You did that so well. Hank, do me a favor. Come on. Take any key you like. Is that a good key for you, see? Play that now. You and Cy. Come on. The two greatest pianos in the business are sitting here. Come on. Same thing. Play it all the way through. Oh, yeah, this is the year we lost Joe.
Joe?
Stalin.
Oh, did he go?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's still there, but he ain't saying much.
They keep moving him around, you know.
Yeah. Khrushchev emerged as a dominant political leader of the Soviet Union. Yeah. And, this was the one the Mau Maus came out, the hidden ones in Kenya.
Mm.
And the Kikuyus. They formed to force the whites from Kenya and to regain ancestral lands from the government and climaxed sporadic violence that went on for quite a while. Yeah, they were able to do it. Our poor American Indians, they never did get it. They got shoved right off. Mount Everest was conquered in 1953 by Ed Hillary, who to this day feels better about it. Yeah. What'd you do in 53? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was with Hillary.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't get very much publicity because he's kind of a pushy mountain climber. Very dangerous to climb with, those pushy kind.
This was the year Queen Elizabeth was crowned.
Ah.
What a lovely lady she is. And this is the day that she made the jewel tiaras the year's most popular accessory for formal evening wear. Mm. Remember, you had one.
Right. I did not.
Well, you had Bermuda shorts. They
no,
were
that was the girl
you.
I was going with, Bermuda Schwartz. Don't you remember?
Oh, yes, very well. Yes, I remember her.
Cute little thing.
Yes. There was a thing around called From Here to Eternity.
Frank Sinatra.
That's the movie that gave him his second break, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Up till that time, he couldn't get arrested.
Well, he was able to get arrested, but for the wrong things. I mean, really arrested.
Yeah, gee, it's amazing the things that happened in a man's lifetime, huh? Mm-hmm. He had been the great, great star, and he had gone all the way down to the bottom of the ladder, and comes a picture called Eternity, and he came back with 20 times the talent he'd had before,
mm-hmm.
as he matured and become the... Well, there's no question he's the greatest. There's just no question about it. When they talk about the king, that's who they mean.
Right, right.
And deservedly so. Of course, on this show, the king is Richard Hayes.
Well, prince, maybe, but not a king.
Well, you're king so far as I'm concerned.
Thank you, sir.
Would you like to sing a song, King?
Your Is there ornery? Any way to talk to a king?
Your ornery? Your honesty? Your highness? Your...
Just call me king. It's all right.
Okay.
I have a ballad. Would you like to hear a ballad?
Yes, I would. I would indeed.
And we have, if you close your eyes...
What else am I going to do? He's only got a ballad.
And I am a king, you know.
Okay.
If you close your eyes, you can hear the fellas really paint a mood picture for you.
Okay.
With this song.
I'd love to hear a picture these boys paint. Now, you take there Hal McCusick. He's quite a photographer, that fella. Have you seen the pictures he's been doing? And what magazines was it? Newsweek has been using them? New York Magazine, Time, and Newsweek, right?
Right.
That's three nice up-and-coming little sheets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. He's our saxophone player. Hal McCusick, he's quite a photographer.
Difficult it is to sing with all those birds flying over you.
It really was some tone poem. What a poem.
The birds is coming. The birds is coming.
I think they were giving you the bird. Hey, you know what Wilma found in the files? 1953 was when McFadden Publications picked this show as the favorite radio daytime non-serial show.
Hmm.
Back in 1953. This one here. And I had Talent Scouts was the favorite radio variety show. And was also the best show on TV, for heaven's sakes. All that in that year. There wasn't much on in those days.
No, that's not true. What? When did that story of when the Duke, when you met the Duke and Duchess? Remember when you had all the shows going?
Oh, yeah. Yes, His Royal Highness, the Duke of Windsor. When I met him one day in the Waldorf at some function or other, I sat next to him. And he said to me, Yes. Tell me, is there a time when you're not on?
Yeah, May 1st, right?
May 1st, I wasn't on.
No, that's the time to tell him. May 1st.
Oh, yeah, this year, yes. Your Highness, this year, May the 1st, I will not be on. I don't know, I may be on somewhere. You know, syndicates from now on.
Good.
Russ Brinkley of Silver Wings Fraternity, of which I am one of the charter members, I think. I wear, you know, that little Silver Wings I wear, SW on it, means Silver Wings. It means that you are have been a pilot for at least 25 years. Let's see, I've been flying since 29. It's 42 years for me now. But Silver Wings, according to Russ, who is president, is celebrating nationwide the 45th anniversary of Lindbergh's flight. And they're going to do it in this way, asking every pilot in the U.S. to make at least one flight on that day, May 20 and May 21, both days. He says 5 years ago, we got more than 50,000 people in the air, flights in the air. And it brought us some new members. We hope to double the record this year. Well, he has... That's right, I'm a member of the board. Yes, I shall be delighted to... But watch out, will you? All those airplanes in the air one time. Did you know that... I just found this out the other day. I wonder if Russ Brinkley knows it. We have 165,000 airplanes in the U.S., of which no more than 1% is ever in the air at any one time.
Hmm.
And of that 165,000, how many of them do you think are airlines? Airliners. You know, hauling people for hire where you buy a ticket.
Gee, I have no idea.
2,200.
2,200?
2,200, yes. 2,200, and they only use 500 airports. The balance of the aircraft, a balance of 65,000, are twin or single engine, so-called executive aircraft. The 100,000 are all little bitty things that are owned by folks who fly them for pleasure.
Hmm.
And they use 10,000 airports. Which is, I know you don't like figures, but...
Some figures I like.
Uh-huh. I know what you mean, but this is a family-type show. Do you mind?
Okay. I have the feeling that lots of times those 2,200 commercial airliners are all arriving at JFK at 5 o'clock. Why do I get that feeling? We're trying to take off.
If you live by an airport, of course, it seems to you that every airplane in the world is coming in and out all the time. But you'll be surprised. Some of the old-timers and I were discussing it the other day. I've flown... Now I've got logged over 15,000 hours. And it seems the longer we fly, the fewer airplanes we see in the air.
Hmm.
We hear them working other ATC facilities, you know. And the controllers will call out to us that we got one at 2 o'clock, 8 miles, another one at 4 o'clock, 6 miles. And you look out there and you say, no contact, you don't see them.
Is that because of the regulations or because there are just fewer airplanes in the air than...
No, I think they fly faster and higher.
Mm-hmm.
And much more precisely. And Unless you're in right... No, of course you see them as you come into an airport, but I'm talking about along the routes. You just don't. You just don't see many. And remember, only 1% of the airplanes are in the air at any one time. 1,650.
Hmm.
That's something. I just came across a magazine called Air Progress, which Tom Sheehy tells me has been around a long time, and I don't know how I missed it all these years. I've got volume 30, number 3 here, the March issue. That means it's been in circulation for a long time. For some reason or other, I have not seen this one. I've been reading Flying and Air Facts all the time. Here's one called Air Progress, and it's a very good one. Our man in Washington, Frank Kingston Smith, has an article in this one which you should read. And thank you for the information, Tommy. Let's go back to some of the music of 1953. Here's one from Larry Russell, Inez James, and Buddy Pepper, which we can get Cy to play for us on the piano. Vaya con Dios. Charlie Chaplin's song called Eternally from Limelight. This one has a distinctive Neapolitan sound to it, although it was never intended that way, I'm sure, but we can get Billy Muir to give us some of that background. Maybe Harold, huh, with his trumpet. Yeah, put a little spaghetti in this. Come on. That's a nice, huh? And be loving you eternally with a love that's true eternally. I feel like I just had a haircut. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And it never was intended to be Italian, was it, huh?
No. It was really background music for the movie.
Oh, maybe there was an Italian director or something.
Charlie Chaplin took care of the whole thing, and he gives lousy haircuts.
The one he's got is pretty cruel.
You know, I think it's quite marvelous that after all this period of time that he came here, back to this country, and was accepted so warmly because...
I can't remember why we rejected him. Why was it?
You know, there was just a hate kind of a thing where the fact that he didn't, all the years that he lived here, become an American citizen. He remained an Englishman. And that's where he wanted to, you know, that's where his heart was. That's where his homeland was. That, and there was a bit of a morals clause there, too. They found him kissing ladies and stuff.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
They had some kind of crazy mess like that about Maurice Chevalier one time. He was a Nazi or sympathizer or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And afterwards claimed him to their hearts. Isn't it silly what we do?
Well, you know, if you live long enough, and if you're, to some extent, right, it all works out in the end.
That's what Mr. Baruch told me one time.
Mm.
He said, you know where they all are who wrote the nasty things they wrote about me? Dead.
Mm.
Yeah.
But you gotta live long enough.
Well, he did. He went to 96.
Mm-hmm. That's good enough.
Then there was a thing called secret love. Anybody remember that? Once I had a secret love.
I think that was Charlie's fault.
Once I had a secret love. Lived within the heart of me. And all too soon, my secret love to be free. So I told a friendly star the way dreamers often do just how wonderful you are and why I am so in love with you.
I never saw the movie. Right. I remember she had a big hit record on it.
Yes, but she did a thing with Jimmy Stewart, but this wasn't it.
See how rumors get started?
Yeah. All the time it was me.
You did a picture with her, right? The glass-bottom boat.
But I still stick to my story, Richard.
That...
Doris Day did do a movie with Jimmy Stewart.
What one?
The Man Who Knew Too Much. It was Alfred Hitchcock's thing. And that's where she sang Que Sera, Sera.
Oh. Whatever will be, will be.
Exactly.
Okay.
Anytime you want to know anything, folks, tune in some other program.
You're a regular Ronan Barrett, you know.
We don't know. We just don't know. You know, this is baby week, for heaven's sakes. Take care of the baby, will you? Listen to him. Change him.
This is the CBS Radio Network.